following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on the road with the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth at the University of Nebraska at Kearney Health and Sports Center, where coming up today is the annual UNK Fall Loper Luncheon, and that means Kearney High and Kearney Catholic coaches and student-athletes will be on hand as well. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you for the next hour here on ESPN Radio. Tomorrow, a lot of Husker talk. Today, a little Loper talk and a little Husker talk. Husker punter Sam Foltz, we caught up with him at the press conference on Monday and had a chance to chat with him. He's on scholarship now and getting a lot of praise heaped on him, and not because he's an All-American or a first-team punter either, Randy. So that's interesting when you have, I mean, we can hear all the things about Amir Abdullah and then maybe trying to say all the good things for Tommy Armstrong, yep, to stroke Husker fans' egos. But to kind of go over, it seems to me a little overboard, which is great, talking about the punter that picks up a scholarship, obviously that shows you a little bit of something, especially when there's so much, right now, I would say, doubt as far as some of the other special teams. Place kicking, punt return was horrible last year.
Yeah.
The long snapping, we're hearing out of practice isn't good. There's an injury there. So I think special teams could have some mistakes. And if Sam Foltz can just take care of that, catch the snap, punt the ball like he's capable of, that's going to be a big part of keeping the Huskers a little calm in that department.
Yeah, get it. You can really shoot yourself in the foot with special teams mistakes. And we saw it a little bit last year, the bad punt returning issues that Nebraska had. I can think of a Loper game against Washburn a few years ago. They had some snap issues with that long snap. They had problems with that. It cost them the game, their first game in the MIAA. As a matter of fact, they had a real legitimate chance of winning that, and then it just kind of unraveled from there. You can really hurt yourselves badly in the special teams area, and folks can go out there and just get the ball off and get it in an area where they're not going to be able to have a big return or get it blocked or whatever. That'll be huge. But, you know, you're at the mercy a little bit of that long snapper. And I'm telling you, parents, if you want to make sure your son can get a Division I football scholarship, teach him how to long snap, because there is a shortage of folks that can do that around. And if you can set a pop can about 7-8 yards away from your son's back end, if he can knock that pop can off of a little stool that you set up with a football, he's probably going to give himself a college scholarship. And that's no joke. But if Foltz, who has worked really, really hard to get that scholarship, can kind of shore up one element of the special teams at the University of Nebraska, get that scholarship, Riker Fife obviously in great position to get a scholarship as well. That is pretty impressive for the Grand Island football program. It really is, and certainly wish him the best of luck.
As we said, there are Grand Island, Kearney, and Hastings kids. Kearney, I don't think, obviously, this year will necessarily contribute because they're either redshirting or young backups, walk-ons. But you've got Zach Stirrup at Hastings. You've got, as you just mentioned, the Grand Island kids. We talked with Jack Gangwish. It's kind of cool. I mean, again, you don't want to go overboard here. It's kind of like UNK. You know you can have some of the Fort Kearney and area kids help you, but you also need some out-of-state talent, yeah, just like Nebraska does, to get that maybe speed, especially, that isn't necessarily found here in the state. So it's good to have somebody, and as has been said many times, Sean mentioned it yesterday at the Husker lunch, Tom Osborne's talked about it, you get a kid from a smaller town in Nebraska, the whole town, I mean, you don't want to fail. As he said yesterday, he talked with Milt Tenneper, Charlie McBride about Drew Ott getting away, yeah, and going to Iowa. And as he says, the whole town of Giltner is watching Drew Ott. He doesn't want to come back and say, it didn't pan out.
Yeah, you don't want to egg on your face. Yeah.
Everybody's proud of you, no matter what you do.
Right, right. And again, when you look at Nebraska's heydays, they're the most successful period of Nebraska football in the mid-90s. People knew the entire offensive line, and most of those guys, four or five of those guys, were from the great state of Nebraska. I mean, that was your pipeline. You had folks from Hardington and Cozad, and you just were able to kind of build from within. And if you can do that, if you can have that pipeline and have one element of your team, whether it's special teams, the offensive line, whatever, if there's something in there you can kind of get, you can grow locally, that means you can do that recruiting and focus on that other stuff outside the area. And I'll tell you what, if you're one of those, and I'm doing the air quotes thing with my fingers here, those talent positions like quarterback, like a Jerry Godowski or what have you, or an Amon Green who's from Omaha, not exactly a small town, but at least from Nebraska, if you can kind of grow those internally, that is a huge, huge boost.
I wonder, as this occurred to me while you were chatting there, about, I wonder what the smallest community in Nebraska to have a scholarship player in Lincoln is. What's the smallest Nebraska community to have a scholarship football player in Lincoln? Because
top of my head, I'm going to go with Duncan.
Yeah, Duncan, Brainerd, Hyannis, Alaria. Who would it be? I mean, there's probably even something else. I don't know the exact population of Duncan, but I know Alaria, 60. Doug Walniak was a captain his fifth year. And of course,
Alaria might be smaller than Duncan.
You got the Schlesingers, the Makavikas from Duncan and Brainerd, Keneally from Hyannis. Send us an email, tweet us. What's the smallest town in Nebraska that has had a Nebraska scholarship football player? You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, or you can email the Dan Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's not just Sam Foltz today. We will continue on with our high school football preview. Mark McLaughlin at Gibbon. The Buffaloes will get their season underway, taking on St. Paul tomorrow, and then gas up the bus for those two trips out to the Panhandle. And they're a playoff team. We'll also chat about the big national rivalry game with Wood River. Bobby Bowden's coming in. He's at ESPN, as you may have heard on Mike and Mike this morning, seen on the network. He's on campus today, Coach Bobby Bowden, and he'll be up for that Gibbon-Wood River game. Also, fantasy football on this Thursday. Luke Hoover of RotoWire will join us in the second half of the program. Might bump him up a few minutes early because of our Loper lunch here today. But if you've got a question for Luke, again, same deal. Facebook us, tweet us, email us. A lot of fantasy drafts. If you haven't done them already, you know they're going to happen here over the weekend sometime. So be a part of that. Luke Hoover will join us as well here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And again, we invite you to come out and join us for the fall Loper lunch. Runza provides the lunch. It's only $6. You get a good lunch. You get to hear from the UNK, Kearney High, and Kearney Catholic Fall coaches covering football and volleyball and cross country and everything else that is going on. Of course, soccer for UNK and Coach Masner. So that's all coming up here. From 12 to 1, they'll start serving lunch at 11:45. And it's back here at the Health and Sports Center, down on the main level, down on the basketball / volleyball court here today. So there you go. You know, Rich Broderson's walking around, and I could get him back for the ice bucket challenge right here because I do have my Loper thingy here.
Bring it on, he said.
Yeah, we had fun. That was a week ago. That was a lot of fun, and it continues to do great things across the country. It is the opening of college football season tonight for real. There was an exciting game on last night with Georgia State winning the ball game over Abilene Christian. Yes, off the top of my head, I was able to remember those two schools. But tonight here on ESPN, Boise State, who always stirs the pot when they get a chance to start with a top 25 team, they're playing Ole Miss tonight, and that's one of those neutral site games. A&M and South Carolina, I'll say it because I know everybody's thinking it. You know what, ESPN television, why did you create the SEC network? That's what you are anyway. And they're over-promoting it today, and I get it, but let's get this over with so we can talk about some of the other things as well, because that's what's showing South Carolina and Texas A&M, and then Vanderbilt Temple is after that. Also tonight, Arizona State plays but gets in a little easier with Weber State. And as far as other games of note, I'm not sure that there really is any. There are about 10 other games out there tonight.
Yeah, there's a little something out there, and it's great to have it back, isn't it? I mean, my brothers, we finally made it to football season, the games that matter. I watched, Eastern Washington on Saturday of last week. That's how starved for college football I was. It's great to have it back. The NFL season starts a week from today, and when that rolls around, there is always Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. There's football. All you got to do is make your way through Tuesday and Wednesday, and you've got that smorgasbord of football for the other 5 days. So those are the 2 days that you do all the stuff around the house that you got to get done so you can enjoy football the other 5 days. Because thank goodness for the DVR, because I'll be filling it up here pretty shortly.
Let me get you a couple of other notes. The preseason cross-country polls came out in the MIAA yesterday. Today it's golf. UNK men and women both picked fifth in the conference in the MIAA, just kind of middle of the pack, but a little bit higher than what they have been the first couple of years. So that's where UNK is set. As far as any other new notes, the Royals, big win last night, but they are really struggling in the last handful of games scoring. I mean, as we said, it was 1-0-2 on a two-run home run in the bottom of the ninth, and then they were seven innings last night against a good pitcher in Phil Hughes, hadn't scored. They get to Hughes in the eighth inning, score six runs, win it 6-1. David Price has not panned out. Unfortunately, when he pitched well, Detroit didn't score any runs for him, and then he didn't get a chance last night because they blew him up, the Yankees, with eight runs early on. And so the Yankees helping the Royals a little bit. Royals are up 2.5 games. Detroit plays this afternoon against the Yankees. Royals play tonight against the Twins as the 10-game homestand continues.
Well, and the nice thing for the Royals is even though they don't score a lot of runs from time to time, and they're a little offensively challenged, they pitch well enough, they play good enough defense. If you run on Gordon's arm, you're just plain flat out. He's going to throw you out. He made a great catch at the wall. They kind of built a little momentum for them as well. They do a lot of those other little things, and if they can get their offense on track, and during this winning streak that they've been on until just recently, they've been doing it quite a bit with their offense. Well, they still have to win those 1-0, those 2-1 games and be able to do it. And the announcers for the Royals said it perfect the other day, even before Gordon hit the walk-off two-run homer in the ninth, saying that when you're having your year, you win games like that. And when it's not your year, you lose games like that. And right now the Royals are winning games like that.
I want to give you our Midtown Mark Cooler question here. As most Thursdays during the Husker football season, we'll be asking you what you think about the Husker game. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question yesterday, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics, which type of format do you prefer for the Class C high school football? The 8-game regular season and 32-team playoffs, which we've had for a number of years, or back to the 9-game regular season and 16-team playoffs? I'm so torn on this because I have argued the 32 teams forever, but that's when there were 64, 68, 70 schools, programs to choose from. Now we're down around 50 where, two-thirds of them make it. I still feel that as soon as a team gets left out that shouldn't get left out, I'm going to feel like I used to feel.
Like a bad deal, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, there are 4-4 teams that get banged up early or play 3 top 10 teams that make runs and not necessarily win the state championship, but every year I can go back and
say, that's all they ask them for.
Here's a 10 or a 12 seed that's in the quarterfinals and maybe even gets to the semifinals. Those guys don't get in anymore. But with so few of schools now, I can understand the move. So, and again, if you're not good enough to make the playoffs. You probably don't want to play that ninth week anyway. 89%, though, said they liked the nine games, just 11% the eight games.
Well, and part of the thinking of that is that it needs to be an honor to get in. Back when I was up away, there was eight districts. You had to win your district, and you didn't play everybody in your district. You made your own schedule. You played your conference opponents and that sort of thing. You may not even play the other best team in your district. My senior year, we actually were faced with the opportunity, the possibility, and a strong one, that if we went 9-0 in the regular season, we would not get into the playoffs. You know, and that was just plain flat out wrong. Obviously, with a 16-team schedule where you have seven districts, is it not? And then the rest of them are nine wild cards. All the runner-ups get in there. That fixes that problem. So I don't think that you'll have that glaring example, but you're right. You will have a team that maybe has had a tough schedule, maybe had a few injuries, and now they're back and they're really a pretty good football team. Maybe even at 6-3 or 5-4, if their schedule isn't quite right, they won't get in. But for the most part, I think I would agree with the 89% and say that 16 is a pretty good number and 32 might be too many.
Well, our Midtown Mark Cooler question today, how will the Huskers fare against Florida Atlantic? And we put the point spread out there. They'll win and cover. We're using 22 points as the spread. They'll win but not cover, or they'll lose outright. Well, I'm sure we'll get 0% on lose outright. Although, again, nobody's talking about Florida Atlantic because you're all concerned about, and rightly so, about what Nebraska's product will be on the field. Florida Atlantic is a tweener, as far as I'm concerned. They're not up to the caliber of a Wyoming, who we played last year, say what you want. But I continue to tell folks that, you know what, these openers that Nebraska have, they talk about the spread, they continually cover. I mean, Wyoming was not the case. They had it covered, and then Wyoming makes the big run. But, I mean, 49-20, 47, 49-10, 49-3, that was Florida Atlantic in 2009, 47-24, 52-10, 49-10, the debacle against Maine, which people thought still was 25-7, 56-17, 48-10. Then you have a couple in there with Oklahoma State and TCU that were close.
Those are real schools.
In fact, that Oklahoma State game, they did cover, if I remember right. Huskers were favored by 7, and they won by 10.
Well, that was a conference opener,
yeah,
so not only season opener.
Yeah, so they constantly do cover. I take Nebraska to win and cover. I thought, seeing from the boys at Big Red Wrap-Up, I know Kevin Kugler thought that maybe Florida Atlantic would be able to strike early because the head coach was on the Wisconsin staff that Nebraska played in the Big Ten championship game a couple of years ago in Charlie Partridge.
Yeah, but he doesn't have their players.
But he's scouted. I mean, it's still
he knows a little bit about what Nebraska likes to do. Yeah, he'll know. But you know what? All coaches do their homework. All coaches are able to kind of find that. And they talk to coaches. You know, it's all a big family. It's a big network. You talk to other coaches. You had success against them. What did you do? So I don't know if that's that huge of an advantage. I mean, I agree that he knows Nebraska probably better than a lot of folks, but anymore with all the access to film that people have, plus how coaches talk to each other, whoever comes in is going to have a pretty good idea of how to attack. It's just whether or not can you scheme that. It isn't getting the information that is the issue. Is how do you handle that information, and do you have the young men who are going to be able to step out there and execute your plan? I just think Nebraska is going to be able to outmatch them. I don't think they're going to. I don't think it's going to be a 69-3 game or anything like that. I do think around 24 points seems reasonable to me. 21. I mean, there's a reason they set the number at 21. They're trying to get half the money on one side and the other half on the other. I think they'll cover, but I don't think it'll be by a ton. I'd say they win by about 24.
Seem to know a lot about that.
Oh, back off. I don't. You're thinking of the Friday guy, okay? Oh,
yeah, Jim Lang will be our co-host tomorrow.
There's a reason you do your pigskin pick them on Friday because you got somebody.
We'll make our picks official score tomorrow, unless Florida Atlantic, who had a decent defense last year, they've got a little momentum with that four-game winning streak, but unless they actually score defensive touchdowns, I think Nebraska covers this game because I think Nebraska's defense, even if there's turnovers in Nebraska's territory, can hold them to field goal attempts. So I'm going to go with win and cover.
Yeah, I think win and cover as well. Again, but you did mention something that I think is a problem for you right now at Nebraska. You're telling me that you got an injured long snapper and you got a backup. That opens the doors for some problems in the kicking game. And you talk about getting defensive touchdowns. That happens pretty quick when you block a field goal attempt or you block a punt. So that's one thing to keep an eye out for.
I did ask Sam Fultz about that, and we'll hear that towards the end of the program here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPN superstation.com. We go to the Dent Popper inbox. One of the questions that we posed here at the top of the program was, what is the smallest community in Nebraska that has produced a scholarship football player at Nebraska? And I went with Doug Welniak, Elaria, population 60. Mike says, isn't Duncan a suburb of Columbus? Which, it sure is, but so is Papillion to Omaha, and they have separate populations. I don't know how big Duncan is. We'll try and effort that. He said Ansley. I know Ansley is bigger than those communities. So if you've got a
That's a good pick. It's a nice reminder that Ansley has had some pretty good athletes come through there as well.
And we'll take a break. When we come back, Mark McLaughlin, head football coach Gibbon. We're live at the UNK Health and Sports Center, where the fall sports luncheon is today, 11:45 until 1 o'clock. Come on out here from UNK, Kearney Catholic, and Kearney High coaches. We'll be back after this.
Did you just chug that entire 20-ounce pop?
Yeah, I needed energy.
You'll need energy to run the 2.5 miles it takes to burn those calories.
2.5 miles? From one pop?
Drinking only 6 pops a month could add 5 pounds of fat in a year.
Wow. So if I drank one a day, that's like 25 pounds a year.
You better get running.
Maybe I'll just rethink my drink and choose water.
Water's a great choice. Visit ActivateBuffaloCounty.com for more info on rethinking your drink.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just wait happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, 1st Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mainly cloudy skies for today. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely, especially early on, with some heavy rainfall. High temperatures near 81. Tonight, a few thunderstorms may linger. Low 62.
Right now, 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Randy Bushcutter with you here at UNK's Health and Sports Center for the Loper Fall Luncheon. Now, there are Loper Luncheons every other Thursday, but to start the fall and to start the winter, along with Kearney Chamber of Commerce, put together a little bigger luncheon involving the Kearney High and Kearney Catholic coaches and student athletes, and we invite you to join us for the Loper Luncheon here today. They'll start serving $6 for lunch provided by Runs at 11:45. Coaches will speak from 12, and we'll have you out of here by 1 o'clock.
And the parking is across the bridge out by the College of Education. There's cones set up there. I'm sure there's somebody removing cones for you right now.
Yeah, just plan an extra 5 minutes.
Probably. If you're parking on a college campus, there's a lot of activity.
One of the topics that we threw out at the top here was, what was the smallest Nebraska community to have a scholarship football player from Nebraska. We threw out Funk, Kyle Larson, but Jeff tells me that's population 194. No, he's looking at Duncan here for me.
Duncan's actually bigger than Funk.
Here's one that will replace Ilaria, I believe. Population 55, according to John and Carney, Dean Steinkuhler from Burr, Nebraska.
Really? Is that where he's from?
Burr, Nebraska, is what he said. Let's go to, well, there's Terry Keneally Hyannis from Bend, but Hyannis is a little bit bigger than that. So we just off the top, we went Brainerd, Duncan, Hyannis, Ilaria. Now you add Funk. Now you add Burr right now, I would say, would be the leader at 55. But if you know of somebody off the top of your head, I don't know the exact answer. We're just throwing it out there today. Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 or email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, it's Thursday, and a lot of places say there's sports bar and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop with lunch specials every single day for you from 11 until 4, and then their appetizer specials and happy hour from 2 until 5:30, where you can get appetizers for 2 1/4 and long necks and draws for 2 1/4. Come on out. Watch the NFL. Watch the college football games that start tonight. If you have a place, need to get out of your basement for a fantasy football draft, plenty of room with 2 levels at the Kearney Chicken Coop. Keno, your favorite beverages, and all of your favorite sporting events are on at the Kearney Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A. Our high school football preview today takes us down the road to the Gibbon Buffaloes, who will be battling for a district title in C2, and that's a little different, too. They have been a C1 program for a number of years. Been C2 in a variety of other sports, but in football, they've been right up there in the 11-man ranks. And today we catch up with the head coach, Mark McLaughlin, getting ready for his sixth season with the Buffaloes. And, Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time today, and it's almost game time. How are things looking for the Buffaloes?
We're excited about the opportunity we have on Friday night to open up our 2014 football season, and obviously we're more excited to get on the field and kind of see what kind of question marks we can get answered. I think most teams are like that. You know, you look forward to that first game just to kind of see where you're at and how you stack up, and maybe get some answers to some questions you have going into the game.
Mark, I think it's worth bringing up that you took over a program a handful of years ago that was struggling, and it didn't get off to a great start the first couple of years. But now you have come through on the other side, given the opportunity to put your time in, get the kids into your system from junior high, and now all those kids that started in junior high are seniors for you this year. You've got to be pleased. I know you want to take that next step, but the last couple of years have had to have been pretty pleasing for you and the Buffaloes.
For sure. It's been a nice change in culture, I think is a good way to put it. Jeff Montgomery and Scott Rasmussen, the two previous coaches that were in Gibbon before me, have been fantastic for me to have around. And I am 100% grateful for everything that they've done for me and our program in general. Like you said earlier, you know, we went down to C2 this year, and some of the years here, my first couple of years in C1, the NSAA did us a big favor, and you know, we didn't have to play Adams Central and St. Cecilia and those teams, and that helped. I mean, when we had an opportunity to win some games, you know, we got to play some teams that were our size. That matters. You get a chance to get a few wins here or there, and when the schedule comes out, you're not already penciling in 6 to 8 losses. So I think the biggest thing was getting the culture changed, and the stars kind of aligned for me. I was very fortunate, and it has nothing to do with me as a football coach. It has to do with good fortune and the support system that we have here, and most of all, the dedication from the kids. And so it's nice to see those kids get some payoff for it.
Yeah, and obviously, as you said, the kids have to have the mindset, and you've got a good crew of kids returning. You've got some good numbers out this year. You told me before we started that you're not 100% healthy, but let's start with some of the positives right now. What are you seeing? You got Braden Snell back there at quarterback. Garrett Stroh, you had moved because he's one of those kids that can do a lot of things for you. Let's start on that offense and where you set heading into week one.
We're really really excited about our offense this year. Kind of undersized in spots. Some spots on the O-line were under 200 pounds, and some spots at wide receiver maybe, and running back, you know, we're under 150 pounds. But we think this is our quickest team and probably overall fastest team that we've ever had. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be the fastest team on the field, but in the past, that's one of the times or one of the areas that we've struggled with is just overall team speed, and we think this year we kind of align better in that regard. And we've been really impressed with the amount of information and the amount of concepts that our offensive line has been able to absorb, because we graduated four of those guys. So we've got a pretty much an entirely new offensive line, and they've really played well here the last 2 weeks of camp. So that's kind of what I'm most proud of and what I'm most looking forward to is to see those five guys on Friday night.
We're talking with Gibbonhead football coach Mark McLaughlin here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They do open at home with St. Paul on Friday night. Let's flip the switch here on the offense, because you have been able to kind of move the ball around, chuck it around a little bit. What about the running game this year? Are we inexperienced there, or are we just got some kids that haven't seen a lot of time?
We have three guys actually, that'll take the ball quite a bit, not counting our quarterback. We've got Jeff Hall is a senior, and he's very good. I mean, he's a very quality running back. He just hasn't had the carries. He was buried behind Eli Van Meter a couple years ago, and then last year we kind of did a running back by committee. So this year will be his first year to be a featured back, and the coaches and I think that he's got a real good chance to be a 1,000-yard or 1,500-yard kid. Jacob Tracy, a freshman, is the fastest kid I've ever had in our program, so naturally he's going to touch the ball. He's a little bit raw, but he works hard, loves the game of football, and my favorite thing about him is he loves contact. And a lot of those kids that have a little bit of wheels, sometimes they don't like contact very much, and he's kind of the opposite. So this year he'll tote the rock a little bit, but in the future I think people will get used to hearing his name. And then the last kid's a kid named Vinny Pearson that's a undersized kid. But he runs like he's 6'4", 250 pounds. I mean, the kid's fearless. Sometimes, you know, I think he regrets running that way, but he's not afraid, and he'll take it between the tackles, and we like it.
What about the defense, Mark? How's things looking there? Hall was your leading tackler that's returning for you this year. We've already talked about him a little bit. Where are you going to be strong, and where are you looking for some depth still?
I think we'll be strong in the secondary. We have a few injuries back there, but top to bottom, we're still pretty good in the secondary, I think, in terms of depth. We're going to be really young at linebacker. We're going to start two freshman kids at linebacker, Tracy, who I already mentioned, and the other one's name is Wyatt Key. Last year, we started a kid named Ryan Newyear and another one named Dakota Kenton, and they started for three straight years. So that's great when you have them, but once those guys graduate, obviously you have guys that haven't played. So we're gonna be pretty young and pretty green at the linebacker spots. And then up front, we have three kids, Jesse Walker, Brian Zimmer, and Ozzie Rodriguez, that have played quite a few snaps there for us. So we feel pretty good about that.
A couple of minutes left here with Gibbon Buffalo head football coach Mark McLaughlin. Mark, the kids ended with a three-game winning streak in the regular season and then went up, and I know a lot of the folks thought that might have been their best played game of the year in the playoffs. It just happened to be against one of the perennial powers in the state on the road at Norfolk Catholic. Did you feel like that, and did you feel that the way the second half of the season went had carried over into summer camps and into the fall camp?
I did. I was really proud of those kids that night. We went up to Norfolk. It was Halloween night. We had the late game. Johnson County Central was playing Lutheran High Northeast, and Johnson County Central is like 11 miles further than we are to Norfolk. So we had to play the late game, and there was every reason in the world for those kids to kind of make excuses about why we shouldn't win or why we shouldn't be able to play with them. And our kids went up there swinging, man. I mean, they got off the bus and they were ready to go. And that was something I was really proud of, because a lot of people, I think, expected us to go up there and just get hammered. So that's kind of the direction that we're hoping to go, is every time we get off the bus or every time we step onto the field, we want it to be like that. And I was certainly proud of the way that they finished the regular season on a 3-game win streak and then performed the way they did up there, because I feel like it shows us that we're still moving. You know, we're still making progress towards that end goal of where we want to get to as a program, not just a team.
Mark, there's obviously a couple of storylines that have gotten given in the news or in the sports pages this year that absolutely have nothing to do with X's and O's. One is when the schedule come out, and we talked about this when it happened, you guys have to make trips out to Bayard and Bridgeport in the non-district portion of your schedule. You'll go to Twin River in the last port of the game. Hopefully the bus is tuned up and ready to go for you guys.
To be honest, I kind of smiled. I like it. Two reasons why. One is if you're going to go anywhere in the playoffs, if you're going to make progress in the playoffs, you're probably going to have to take a road trip. And I figure if we can go to Bayard and we can go to Bridgeport, that'll get us ready for just about anything. Unless we end up getting shipped off to Chadron or Falls City or somewhere like that somehow in the near future. I mean, that shapes up for us good long term. And number two, seeing teams that you haven't seen is a great thing, in my opinion, because it keeps the kids interested. It forces you to be balanced and versatile in your preparation. And so I think, did we ask for it? No, absolutely not. But you got to find the positives, and they're certainly out there.
And then, of course, here a couple of weeks ago, some national recognition. You're going to be a rivalry game as part of Max Preps, and in a separate but same day type of deal, Coach Bobby Bouton is going to be coming in. There's going to be a lot of hoopla around the Wood River Gibbon game.
We're excited about that, but right now we're paying 100% attention to St. Paul. So that's an exciting deal that's going to be happening, but that's 5 weeks away. So we'll worry about that one a little more when it gets closer. Right now we got to figure out how we're going to handle St. Paul's beer.
Well, and always with a new coaching staff and probably a whole new look, that's always, even though you'll be the favorite in this game and you get to play a lot of teams, as you said, from the conference and some rivals this year, when it's brand new, you just never know what to expect. Opening night, always some nerves.
Very much so. Very much so. And Coach Fuller has had a lot of success as a player in Cambridge, which is obviously a terrific program and dynasty. And then also as a coach in Wausau. So St. Paul certainly has 100% of our attention and our respect.
Well, Mark McLaughlin, head coach at Gibbon, joining us on our high school football preview today. Coach, we'll let you get back to class and wish you the best of luck, and we'll see you on the field soon. Thanks for the time.
Hey, we appreciate all the coverage that you guys give to our team and specifically our high school sports. So thank you for that.
Mark McLaughlin, head football coach at Gibbon, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, opening things with St. Paul tomorrow, who went 0-8, has a new coaching staff, and so we'll see, as you heard, what they bring to the table. Don't forget, folks, we are here at the UNK Health and Sports Center, our high school preview tomorrow. We'll talk with the new head football coach at Donovan Trumbull, Clint Head, taking over. Coach Breckner promoted up to
in the
administration. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for here. And so when that happens, usually you give up your coaching duties, and that's what he's done. Clint's been on the assistant. So not a bad program to take over, but big expectations. Lost a lot of great kids, have some good kids back, and they've got a tough game tomorrow, which you'll have on Classic Hits 98.9 with the North Platte St. Pat's. That'll be our preview tomorrow, plus plenty of Husker talk. Hey, when you think of lawn and landscaping, the only name you need to know is Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. Everything you need to keep your lawn looking great all year round. Trees, rocks, shrubs, the custom concrete edging. You get style and functionality to your new or existing landscaping. And in fact, when you get the job done by Johnson Lawn and Landscape, you'll have the best around. Proudly landscaping Nebraska and doing amazing work. Call 237-LAWN. That's 237-LAWN. You can visit them online at NebraskaLandscape.com.
Com. And don't forget to visit their nursery located just beside Yellow Van on 6th Street in Kearney. Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. Again, we've been getting a lot of good responses. We appreciate that. We're looking for the smallest town to produce a Nebraska scholarship football player. Seth said that Terry Keneally, although he went to school in Hyannis, is actually from Whitman, which is unincorporated. So I don't know how to feel about that.
It's a town and it's not incorporated. But again, if you get too small, then you're unincorporated. So unincorporated would be tough to beat if we're actually going to count that.
Let's see. I think I mentioned DeWeese. Burr, actually 57 people. And so them and Elaria right now are the two smallest towns that we have come up with. Email us, tweet us. We'd love to hear from you. Ryan comes in on Nebraska football just about the season. He says Nebraska's season will all come down to Tommy Armstrong's improvement and the turnover percentage. The defense and the skill players on offense will do well. Hopefully, Imani Cross will get a lot of work. He's been underused and could be a real asset at softening up the opposing defense, which would open up the playbook. I bet Tom Osborne would have used him more in his day. Well, as everything's probably true until that last statement, Ryan, that was probably true. But, again, we're not in that day. Football has
changed. Yeah, football has changed.
And he'll use him. They'll use him.
I agree with his assessment of Tommy Armstrong. A lot of it's going to be on that, how much better he plays this year versus last year. Injuries, turnovers, those are some factors that are just kind of just out of your control. You can work on protecting the football and holding it with the 5 points of a ball and all of that. Talk about ball security, but it still is going to come down to execution, and sometimes just the bounces don't go your way. It isn't how many times you fumble the ball. It's how many times you lose the ball.
Again, I went to some of our experts here during the break, and Dean Steinkuhler from Burr went to school in Sterling. That was at one time Mike Babcock, actually, it gets back to me, said he was regarded as the football All-American from the smallest town. So there you go.
Well, if you put that spin on it,
there you go. So right now, maybe Dean Steinkuhler, Burr is right there in the small towns as well. We'll take a break. Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Your fantasy football questions. We're live at the UNK Health and Sports Center for the Fall Sports Luncheon. We'll be right back.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You'll get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where it's time for our fantasy football report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, your fantasy football headquarters. Free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams. The NFL Red Zone and NFL Sunday Ticket. Every game is on at least one of the tons of televisions. Cunningham's is also the place where they serve you a wide variety of appetizers, sandwiches, pizza, wings, burgers that'll make you stand up and cheer. The coldest draft beer in town. Head to Cunningham's for every NFL and college football game, including the Huskers all season long. Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street in downtown Kearney. Luke Hoover joins us from RotoWire. Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, it's great to have you on. If they haven't drafted, then this is the big week, and we've seen a variety of injuries, the suspensions. I want to start right there. Josh Gordon won't play. Who benefits in Cleveland's offense, if anybody?
Probably the biggest beneficiary would be Ben Tate, since, you know, you have to imagine they'll lean even more heavily on the ground game right now. But, you know, at this point, I would defer to, you know, if you're going to take anyone receiving the football in Cleveland, you got to go with Jordan Cameron. He was a Pro Bowler at tight end last year. And even though he loses Norv Turner, who really targets the tight end a lot, he's going to be that, you know, security blanket for Hoyer to certainly to start, and then Manziel if he gets his shot.
Luke, I actually had the situation last night where I drafted first in a 12-team league. So, you know, a lot of pressure on that first pick. I go with McCoy, so I got quality at running back, and went with a couple of wide receivers at the end of the second and the beginning of the third round. Tell me, how'd I do?
You know, if you're taking a pick in the first 5 to 7 probably of any league, you got to go running back, and you really can't go wrong getting a guy like McCoy at any spot, you know, in the first 3 or 4 picks. You know, and then I generally tend to go with 2 running backs on my first 3 picks just because there's such a scarcity of, you know, guys that are going to get the bulk of their workload for their teams. But you can't go wrong taking 2 high-end receivers either.
We have a league, and I know others do. It's not the most popular one out there, but I've started to hear this making a move here, the touchdown-only league, where yards don't matter. The length of the touchdown does matter a little bit. This specific league, Luke, 0 to 9 yards is 6 points, and then 10 to 39 is 9 points, and 40 on up is 12 points. And if you go out of position, say you're the quarterback and you run it in, it doubles. So, you know, back in the day, Michael Vick runs it in from 11 yards out. That's worth 18 points versus Adrian Peterson banging them in 3 times from 1 yard around. If you're running back, Darren Sproles was pretty good there for a couple of years. What this usually goes quarterback heavy early. Can you, off the top of your head, kind of give me who you would take, quarterback, running back? I'm guessing Calvin Johnson, wide receiver. Do you have some suggestions?
You know, that's always tricky in a touchdown-only league because it's so unpredictable how guys are going to score the football. You know what I mean? Just to throw out a name that I was even surprised when I looked back at statistics for last season. You know, you would never guess that a guy like Donald Brown found the end zone 8 times last year. You know, that's a lot for a guy coming into the season you think is the 3rd or maybe even 4th running back on his team and wound up in the starting position. You know, at the quarterback position, a guy who kind of quietly has found the end zone on the ground a lot his first 2 years is Andrew Luck. He's got 9 rushing touchdowns in his first 2 seasons, and, you know, averaged 6 yards a carry on the ground last year. Just has that strength, you know, deceptive speed, and is kind of understands when to take off and capitalize. So, you know, I'd really like him in that format, you know, simply because you're going to get him a good amount later than some of, you know, those high-end quarterbacks and then some of those, you know, more well-known rushing quarterbacks like Kaepernick, Cam Newton, you know, Russell Wilson. So I think he's a really good pick there. Yeah, at running back, I think this season, if you could get him, I would consider him in the top 3 in a league like that. But I think Eddie Lacy might lead the league in touchdowns. You know, that kind of bruising back and that goal line back for Green Bay, an offense that's going to move the football a ton. And you know, like you said, it's hard to not say Calvin Johnson. You know, when you're considering who's going to score the most touchdowns at the receiver position. But you know, I also really love Demaryius Thomas, who was actually led all receivers last year. You know, still has Peyton Manning throwing the ball right now. Eric Decker, who led the team in red zone targets, was among the best in the league in red zone targets. You know, he's gone, and now Wes Welker's also got the concussion, you know, thing to consider. So, you know, I like Thomas a lot, you know, and a guy who's going to score a lot of touchdowns. Obviously, Jimmy Graham, you know, at the tight end position, he should be a top 10 pick in that league as well.
Luke, this is kind of a philosophical question because I've been doing fantasy football for a long time, and most of the leagues I was in several years ago, you had to play two running backs. Well, I in one league I'm in, you have to play one, and in the other one, you don't have to play any. You could literally have five wide receivers. Does that obviously devalue the importance of a running back? You mentioned that two of the first three rounds you'd like to draft running backs in. Would you move away from that if you were in one of those leagues where you only have to play one running back?
If anything, I would think that if you're in that league and you run into some other teams that decide they're going to go the strategy of going light on running back, that gives you an advantage depending on how many of them you actually can put in your lineup. Because typically running backs are going to outscore wide receivers, you know, certainly the high-end running backs. And if you can get a guy who might fall, a Monte Ball, you know, Giovanni Bernard, Eddie Lacy, Matt Forte, some of these names that maybe guys decide to pass on, you know, or even those middle tier running backs, the Shane Vereen, you know, Ray Rice, who I really think will have a big bounce back season, that I think bolsters your lineup a little bit better. And I would never play any less than two running backs in any format.
Let's go to the Net Popper inbox here. If I have one of the elite quarterbacks, do I even need a backup or use those spots to build wide receiver and running back depth?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. I think you play it depending on, you know, how the rest of your league is drafting throughout the drafting, kind of feel that out to see, or will there be a good backup that's left, you know, as a free agent once the draft is concluded. And I ran into that myself in a couple of leagues where I was able to get Aaron Rodgers, and you know, I ended up not getting a backup and electing to take, you know, a high upside wide receiver late. You know, those guys can, if they hit, they can really find their way into your lineup every week. Of course, you run the risk of, if you don't have a good backup, you have an injury, you might be costing yourself your season.
Luke, I want to talk a little bit about defenses. I was really surprised last night. I think somebody, well, actually, it was one team in our league, drafted a defense before they even drafted a quarterback, which shocked
Dork.
Me. Yeah, well, I'm always the last round kind of thing. What philosophy do you have in terms of approaching both kicker and defenses? Are they always the last two picks that you have?
Yeah, for me personally, they pretty much are the last two picks almost. You know, in every given draft I do, there's occasionally, you know, I'll take a defense, you know, a round or two earlier than usual. And it's just if they're we're getting to that point in the draft where I'm undecided between a couple of my last bench players, and I feel like, you know, I can let the draft help my decision. You know, and also if I feel like the defense that I primary am targeting, you know, for that late round pick, if I feel like they might come off the board, I'll risk, you know, missing, you know, my fifth or sixth wide receiver to take that defense. But generally, yes, I do wait till the end.
Last minute with Luke Huber of RotoWire here on the Doug and Daddy Show. These questions kind of all come in the same. You know, they want that sleeper. They want to know, as I kind of alluded to with Josh Gordon, you've seen another week of preseason ball. Has somebody emerged that you would take later on as a decent wide receiver, running back, and have injuries besides what we've already talked about? Have we overlooked anything that you wanted to mention to the folks out there?
Well, you know, there's one name that stood out to me that I think he's definitely getting overlooked. He's been in the league a while now. You know, he dealt with his share of injuries, but Jonathan Stewart is finally starting to look healthy in Carolina, and, you know, D'Angelo Williams really isn't getting any younger. That Panther offense is going to have to move the football somehow, and, you know, right now I'm skeptical about their wide receivers a little bit, although I do like Kelvin Benjamin's upside. You know, I could see the scenario in which Jonathan Stewart has a surprise season and gets up around that 1,000 total yard area. You know, and I've seen him go undrafted in a lot of leagues.
Luke Huber, Fantasy Football. We'll set our lineups with Luke next Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Luke, thanks so much for the time, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right, looking forward to it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Luke.
And we always appreciate all of the tweets and emails with your fantasy football questions. And don't forget to get signed up for the Doug and Daddy Cunningham's Journal Fantasy Football Challenge by going to ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the football fantasy football banner. It's free. You don't have to play it every week, but there are winners every week, $25 gift cards to Cunningham's, and the winners are entered into a drawing for a $200 Super Bowl party for you and your friends. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. For more information. Also want to let folks know that next week we're going to be giving away tickets and VIP passes to the McNeese State football game. So be listening for that. And in fact, I think, Jeff, we've got a couple of more ESPN fantasy football draft kits. It's basically the big poster you put on the wall with all the guys' names, and you can put the stickers up there so everybody sees what everybody else has. We've got a couple of those left. Give Jeff a call right now at 888-455-3776. We'll save a couple for you if you can pick them up at our studios, 888-455-3776. When we come back, the Loper Fall Luncheon will be underway here at UNK, and we'll chat with Nebraska punter Sam Foltz of Grand Island.
Comment. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's Best Real Estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
5 to 10 p.m. this Thursday evening, Golf USA will be hosting a sale so big they can only afford to run it once a year. Everything in the store is marked down. Save up to 50% on apparel and up to 70% on golf shoes. This is the night to save big on everything golf. And when you spend $100, you get a free round of golf at Awari Dunes. The madness begins at Golf USA Thursday night at 5.
Before you go to play, come to Golf USA.
Every day, you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Fall in love with Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village at our September Sam Fest, Thursday, September 4th from 3:30 to 8 p.m. All our 55-plus friends are welcome. Bingo under the big tent, Melon Roasters car show, live music, Hastings Western Air Square Dance Group, free food, tours of the village. Join Hastings Village September 4th for 55-plus fun. Admission is free. Experience senior living at its finest at Sam Fest, September 4th from 3:30 to 8 p.m. We'll see you there.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I feel like I'm whole again. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Welcome
and welcome back to the Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac broadcast booth. We are on the road here at the UNK Health and Sports Center as we're getting ready for the Loper Lunch and the first one of the year. And it is a special one because they bring in student athletes and coaches from Kearney Catholic and Kearney High to kind of talk about and preview their season. It is a great opportunity if you're a sports fan here in Central Nebraska and Kearney in particular to come down and check out all the local teams here at the Health and Sports Center and a very affordable lunch being catered by Runza. There are a few seats left, but boy, it's a pretty good crowd down there, and certainly glad to be here and be part of this wonderful event. As we mentioned, we are on the road here in the Midway broadcast booth, and Midway has also gotten some great information as Chevrolet has just released their Labor Day sale, now good through Labor Day and Tuesday. From now until Tuesday, 0% APR for 72 months plus no monthly payments for 90 days on most 2014 vehicles in stock for qualified buyers, of course. And Buick has just announced that 0% APR for 60 months for qualified buyers plus $500 bonus purchase cash on their entire 2014 Buick lineup. And Chrysler's Labor Day sales include $1,000 Labor Day bonus clash. Instead of a backyard barbecue or a day at the beach, celebrate the final days of summer with a new Chrysler vehicle and receive $1,000 in bonus cash incentive. Dodge has up to $4,000 bonus cash. Labor Day, a celebration of the American worker and a great opportunity for that American worker to save big. Up to $4,000 bonus cash on Dodge Charger, $3,000 bonus cash on Grand Caravan, and special end-of-summer savings on all Dodge models. In fact, I can't go through all of them through here, including a great deal where you don't have to make a payment on specific models for up to 90 days. That'll help you kind of pay off your taxes and all that stuff before you actually have to take over those payments. Again, 0% APR for 72 months, plus no monthly payment for 90 days on 2014 Chevrolets on most of those for qualified buyers. So a great deal. Well, earlier this week, besides Doug being downstairs already, helping to co-host the co-MC the Loper Luncheon here, he had a chance to hook up with Sam Fultz, Nebraska's punter from Grand Island, and he talked about the outlook for the season. So here's that conversation Doug had with Sam from Grand Island earlier this week.
Game week here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and Grand Island's own Sam Fultz joins us here from Memorial Stadium as they get ready for Florida Atlantic. And Sam, thanks for the time here on the show. First of all, I know we've been talking a lot of Grand Island, and Kearney's got some kids on the team this year, Zach from Hastings, so there's a good Tri-City flavor, but that doesn't necessarily always mean you guys are meshing here. What is your relationship, if you have any, with some of the other area guys that are from the Tri-Cities or you may have played with or against?
First of all, thanks for having me on the show, and I think a lot of us have a good relationship. I mean, I played basketball with Zach Stirrup back when I was in fourth and fifth grade, you know, and I've grown up with Riker, and obviously with Spencer Lindsay, the kicker out of Kearney too. I mean, I grew up around him, so I think all of us have a pretty good relationship with each other coming into Nebraska, and it's only gotten better since we've been here.
Everybody wants to know about Riker, and he's getting a lot of pub. You've been moving along, doing what you need to do. From a Grand Island perspective, from the folks back there, what can you tell us about how he has handled what this race has been like, not only in fall but in spring ball?
Riker's done great. He's grown tremendously since high school, but now even into college, you know, and he's had a great fall camp. I mean, everyone's been talking about it, but I mean, me watching it every day, he's had a great fall camp. He's come a long way. He's a competitor, obviously, you know, and Riker's going to give you his best shot every time, and you know, I'm proud of him in the way he's came, but he's still got a long ways to go, and I mean, he's still hungry for that starting job. So, I mean, we're all pulling for Riker, and he's done a great job.
Talking with Sam Fultz, Nebraska punter here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Over the years, getting to interview Kyle Larson and most recently Brett Maher, there's not a whole lot of questions that you can ask a punter, like you can break down line and quarterback and plays like that. So I'll ask you kind of the standard question. What have you been working on, and where do you feel you've been getting better?
I think what I've gotten the most, you know, improved on is probably just my comfortability with what I'm doing. Obviously, as a freshman, you know, I came into a situation where I had to fill some big shoes early on. You know, I felt a little bit of pressure with that, obviously, but I think I've gotten a lot more comfortable with my role. You know, in the offseason, I've worked a lot on my consistency. You know, I've really shortened my steps, you know, got a more consistent drop, and I've really worked my pooch game too, obviously, you know, pinning guys inside the 10, inside the 20. So I think that's some of the things I've been working on, you know, improved on, and I'm excited to put it out on the field.
some of the, quote, old-timers, even myself from time to time, question the old corner kick. There's more pooch kick that gives you an opportunity to maybe create a fumble deep in inside territory instead of trying to kick it to the sidelines. Talk about that philosophy, if it's ever discussed, or how that's changed over the years.
That's changed a lot. I mean, obviously the biggest change with pooch punting now has come to the Australian rules punt, you know, the end-over-end punt. And I mean, I've explored that. You know, I'm able to do it, but I'm more of a traditional guy too. I'm like into, you know, kick to the sidelines, you know, optimize, you know, a spiral, putting a spiral out of bounds, or just hanging it up for my gunners. You know, I have two tremendous gunners that have a lot of speed to get down, you know, and cover punts. So with me, I mean, I can go either way with it, but I mean, it's changed a lot over the years.
Sam Foltz joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we talk special teams, people think, okay, place kicker, punter. There's so much more. There's holders, there's snappers, there's returners, obviously, that can make some big plays. You're not just punting. You've told me before you're lobbying for some other jobs, but how much work does it actually put into just catching the snap and putting it down for a kick?
It takes a lot. I mean, it takes a lot. Even with, like, Drew, I mean, we just started working with Drew this summer. I mean, I think we've worked with him about 3 months, and he's now just becoming comfortable with the snap and the hold. So I think over that 3 months, I mean, you understand that there's a lot that goes in behind the scenes. Everyone sees what happens on Saturdays. You know, it seems real flawless and, you know, easy, but you know, throughout the summer months and throughout fall camp, it takes a lot of time to build chemistry with a kicker and a snapper, you know, and get that the right chemistry flowing. But once it gets going, you know, obviously it goes really smooth.
Even though the media can watch practice for the most part every day now, we don't see everything. There has been some concern about long snapping and you having to pick some balls up. How's that going, and what does it take for that to click from your standpoint?
It's been going really well. I mean, it was obviously shaky at the start of camp, but I mean, it's cleared up a lot now. And obviously with Coach Ells, you know, telling me from day one in the meeting room, you know, you're a wide receiver that was converted into a punter. I mean, we expect you to make those plays. We expect you, you know, to be the backstop. If something does go wrong, we expect you to make it right, you know, and I take that upon myself first and foremost. But I think it's gotten a lot better, and I think now it's just come down to repetitions, you know, guys getting, you know, a lot of reps to feel comfortable with it and get it in the right places. So I think it's came a long way since day one.
Sam Foltz with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for Florida Atlantic. You're sitting here in the press box with us. You don't get that view very often. You see an empty stadium, but that stadium will be full on Saturday. How jacked up are you, and how different is it when you're up here and the stadium's actually empty?
You know, I've been excited since January 3rd, you know, right after the bowl game, you know, last year. I mean, I've had a lot of hours of studying up here in the stadium. You know, I come up here and study every night, and I mean, I look over the stadium every day. So, I mean, it's really excited for me. You know, I've been pumped since January 3rd, like I said. So, I mean, I can't wait for Saturday. Can't get here soon enough, and we're excited to put it on the field what we can display this year.
Last year, we pretty much knew at some point the fake punt was in just because of your athletic ability. Didn't pan out. Has that been something you guys have been working on, different things? Is that still in your corner? If there is an audible to be made, do you get a sign from the sidelines? Can you give us a little insight to that?
There'll be some fireworks at some point this year. There'll be something that'll happen. But, I mean, yeah, we've always worked on stuff. But I think there'll be a time come this year where we'll be able to put it in and you have a successful play come out of it.
What do you look for when a play call? Is it something when you're on the field? Is it called ahead of time? Can it do both?
It can be both. I mean, we obviously do a lot of scouting reports on teams, obviously, with their punt return. And, you know, I take it upon myself to watch a lot of film to, you know, check out guys, see what their tendencies are, obviously. But, I mean, it's usually called before. But, I mean, they also give me keys to look at when I'm actually in the game, too. So it can kind of go both ways.
Do you have any idea what kind of a return game Florida Atlantic has, return guys, what you need to do on Saturday?
I mean, we know that one of their coordinators now, their new special teams coordinator, came from Arkansas. Obviously, we've been watching a lot of Arkansas film, obviously, but, you know, we don't have a great idea what's going on. But, I mean, that's for everyone in the country. You know, it's first game of the year. Everything's, you know, could be switched up and different, you know, with coaching staffs, obviously. So I think we're just going to prepare for everything, you know, and whatever they give us Saturday, we're going to roll with it.
And finally, before we let you out of here, you talked about how excited you are for this season. Every year of maturity, you seem to have a different every player has a different view of where they're at in their career. So what's the goal throughout this? Maybe for Sam Foltz, we know what the team wants to do, but what does Sam Foltz want to get done this year?
You know, I want to be one of the best in the country, obviously. I want to be one of the best in the Big Ten. I feel like, you know, watching games from last year, you know, it kind of puts a sour taste in my mouth because I know I was better than what I was last year. I mean, I had shining moments. I had some moments, you know, where I was just a freshman punting. You know, I'm not a freshman anymore, so I want to display what I've been working on all offseason. You know, I want to be one of the top in the country, one of the best in the Big Ten. So I'm excited to put out there Saturday and, you know, show everyone what I got.
All right, Sam, well, we appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you Saturday.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
And welcome back here to the UNK Health and Sports Center. In the background, you might be able to hear Rick Squire, head volleyball coach for UNK, who's speaking right now at the Loper Luncheon. We heard from the Kearney High and Kearney Catholic volleyball coaches just a little bit ago. And obviously, we'll be talking with all the sporting teams from Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, and UNK here at the Loper Luncheon. Still have a little room for you. Come on down. Lunch is being catered by Runza. I think they got that wrapped up, but still room to kind of come down there and listen if you're so inclined. Well, we want to thank you for joining us here on this week's today's Doug and Daddy show. And our question that we've been kind of following all day has been, what is the smallest Nebraska town to produce a Nebraska scholarship football player? And I'll tell you, we had Elyria. We thought that was a pretty good guess. We thought Duncan was a pretty good guess. And I'm telling you, we got some research from an email that we got on the Dent Popper inbox where they talked about Vernon Naprud. Vernon Naprud played two ways for the Huskers back in the 1930s. He was from Vertel. We're assuming he got a scholarship. Can't really confirm that, but he was from Vertel, population 30, back from the 1930s. That is a level of research that we get done through our listeners here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to wrap things up and call it a day. Glad you could join us here from the UNK Health and Sports Center. Want to certainly thank all of our guests today. We talked a little Buffalo football from Gibbon. We talked with Sam Foltz, the kicker for Nebraska, the punter from Grand Island. Glad he could join us, as well as Luke Hoover from RotoWire with all of our questions about fantasy football. Don't forget tomorrow, obviously, first game Friday of the year. We'll have a lot of talk about the Huskers as they get ready to take on Florida Atlantic on Saturday. Doug Duda's already down there helping to host things here at the UNK Health and Sports Center. I'm Randy Bushgarter. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow at 11 right here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.